and verse 9. All right, so hold your finger there in verse 9. I'm going to read the verse and we'll pray. This will be verse 21 that I read, but you stay in verse 9. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Father, humble in heart, desiring to be spoken to. Lord, we lift up those on our prayer request, Lord, these that were mentioned this morning, and those that have been on our mind for all this time, that, Lord, you work with them. Lord, I omitted Tim Hilly with his broken hip and his shattered elbow. But Lord, I pray that you be with him as well as the others that were mentioned. Lord, be with us all as we sit here in this service. Lord, give us calm and peace and readiness of mind that we know what to deal with the world that seems to have lost its mind. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I'll join you over in verse 9. Now let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. What we're seeing in the very first verse of our reading here is the fact that we are at odds with this world. There's a lot of things that happen in this world, excuse me, that make me angry, that just drive me mad. Right? When I sit there and you open up the newspaper and you see that there's been another drunk driving accident. When you open up and you see or you hear these stories from my cousin where kids were abandoned from the apartment industry where pets and even, yes, sometimes that's happened where people have moved on and left their child in an apartment building. When you see the theft and the corruption all around us, I sit here and as God's people, we are at odds with this world. For every dope dealer out there, down to the person who is found dead with a needle in their arm, this is wrong. And we should stand against it. However, there's a right way. Let's look at this verse 9 one more time. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And many of a worldly philosopher would look at that and say, well, wait a minute, how can you have love if you abhor that which is evil? How can you love people if there's evil in them? It's very easy because verse 9 tells me to do so. Amen, pack it up, let's go. Because the Bible tells me to. And I'll tell you what, and we'll preach on this in a sermon a little bit later, further on down the road. Love is the most freeing thing you can have. Well, don't you understand they were gossiping and they're causing trouble and they're making fun of you? Yeah, but I love them, so I get to walk away unbothered. Let them hang themselves. Let their bitterness and their anger be their problem. My door for love is open. My door for forgiveness is open. And I'll tell you what, I'll send it on over there before you even ask for it. I spent some time camping once and I was there all by myself and I was packing up and I had a bunch of firewood left over. And it was kind of funny because the people next to me, they got done camping before I did. So they took all their firewood and they brought it on over to me. So I came back from what I was doing and a great big pile of firewood. I go, all right, what a blessing. That's nice. Well, as I was sitting there, I was packing up my camp, trying to figure out who I was going to give the rest of my firewood to. I walked by and there's a group of people, they were making fun of me. I won't tell you what they're making fun of me for. They're just making fun of me. And I don't think they thought I hurt them. And if they did, I don't think they cared. So I go, I know exactly what to do. I went on over and I grabbed all my firewood, put it in the back of my car, pulled up on them. You'd never seen people so scared. And there's little assuming me, overweight me, huffing and puffing with this firewood to bring it over. Hey, I'm leaving. But I've got all this firewood left over. I'd like to give it to you. All right. And I didn't do it to spite him. I didn't do it to win a victory. I did it to get rid of the firewood. And I thought, you know what? Lord taught me about this. When people are mean to you, you bless them. And I don't bless them to score a point because I've met people that do that. Oh, I'm just going to heap them coals on their heads. No. I'm actually going to, here you go. I talked to them for a little bit. You know what I found out? They were nice guys. And I walked away. And you know what? It was a good experience for me. I know what it was for them, but it was a good experience for me. Now I got a Bible, I got a sermon illustration out of it too. So it's score, score. Double points. What was it? I think it was on Friday, Brother Charlie. What happens at the morning coffee fellowship stays? No, everything's a sermon illustration, man. You could spend $10 a month to get sermon illustrations, or I could just watch people. It's more economical. Love them! Let love be without dissimulation! I don't gotta bust stuff up with my, I don't gotta fight, I don't gotta bicker, but I tell you what, there's still a conflict anyway. So how do I bring love into a conflict? How do I sit there in a world that has kids go to a drag show at an X-rated bar and give them fake money to give to them? How do I approach that with love? Because every inch of my body wants war. I want war. I want that firewood back so I can do something to that bar. I'm angry. How do I approach that? How do I fight this world in a godly way without using their weapons? Let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You guys ever hear of a Canadian standoff? You guys know what a Mexican standoff is, right? Guns drawn, everybody's like this. Canadian standoff is when two people are at a door. Oh, no, you first. Oh, no, no, you first. Oh, no, you first. Oh, no, you. Oh, sorry, sorry, you first. Prefer one another. That's what it is. I'd much rather you get the blessing. Nah, you get the blessing. Prefer one another. No, I'll come over and do that. I'll come over and do that. I'll help you with that. Yeah, let me take care of that. Absolutely. Come on over. Prefer. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's how you do it. Isn't that so easy? Doesn't it sound so easy? All I've got to do is do these things and I can combat this world in a God-honoring way. Well, number one, let's pick verse 16 apart a little bit. Let's put this all in the scope of verse 16. Be not overcome of evil. Verse 9 tells us that we need to have a certain attitude of evil. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I should not at any time be overcome of evil. And if I'm not to be overcome of evil, I must understand what it means to be overcome of evil. It gives the idea of the old embattlements of a castle, right? Where you're sitting there and you're fighting and the enemy comes in and they're over your walls and they're inside and they're fighting everything. They've overaccomplished. They've done their job. They've defeated you. You're outrun. We ought not to be overcome that way. To where we let evil in, we let evil have its way, we let evil overlap us, we don't allow it. We must abhor evil. Which tells us that the best way to not get overrun is to, number one, don't be enticed by it. Don't be enticed by it. You'll see these people out here, they'll watch these movies where there's always the fighting, where you'll sit there and somebody will take an insult and that gives them permission to hit somebody and they smile about it and like, all right, now I get to hit you. Why would we watch that? Why would we let these old westerns be our guides to how to behave? Now, don't get me wrong, I get entertained by the things. I think they're pretty funny. But they are not ways to live. Can we all agree that the stuff that's necessarily entertaining on the television is not guideposts for how we're supposed to live? That's how I am. I love the old westerns. I love the old movies far better than I love any, than I'll ever fall in love with any of the new stuff. They ain't made anything new for decades. Anything good new for decades. Right, I like the old stuff, but I've never sat there once watching Clint Eastwood going, you know what, that's exactly how I ought to behave. Hold on, write that down. I'm going to take that into work tomorrow. No, you watch it, you get your chuckle, you move on. But there's people out there who sit there and go, that's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of woman I want to be. Reactive and angry. I want to be the person that can hit somebody. I want to be the person that pulls out my gun and shoots somebody just for stealing something that belongs to me. That's who I am. That's what I want. I want just a hair of a permission to be violent, a hair of a permission to be verbally aggressive or abusive to somebody, and I win. That's what we want. Now, we see aggression has its place, right? Violence sometimes is the answer, but some of us are just waiting for the question, waiting to do some destruction. That should not be our hearts. We should not be enticed to do evil. We shouldn't be tempted by it. Verses 11 through 13 gives us a list of things that we ought to be doing. But the problem is that we get exhausted in the doing. There'll be so much evil around us and so much trouble around us that we'll get to be tired of fighting in that fight. Right? You turn, like Brother Mark was mentioning in the devotion this morning. Right? You turn on the news and it's sad. Well, what's the purpose of going out door knocking? What's the purpose of inviting my friend to church? What's the purpose of even participating in church myself? If all this is going on around me and there's no fight, I must remind you that this stuff has gone on since the creation of man. There's been revival, there's been destruction, there's been perversion, there's been better. We go back and forth. Do not let the wickedness in this world make you set an opinion of what the future is going to be like. It all belongs to God. Do not become exhausted by the evil that you see around you. And I'll tell you what, never find yourself answering evil for evil. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I tell you what, that's difficult, isn't it? That's difficult. You see that where we're coming up on the winter season again here in the next few months. Michiganders are going to remember what ice is. It's going to take them a while to remember what ice is. I guarantee to you this, if you're out there driving on the freeway, somebody in a big old truck or a little speedy Honda is going to come whipping by you. And a few miles later, you're going to find them on the side of the road in an embankment. Don't laugh at them. Don't rejoice in that. Get out and make sure they're okay. No, you don't understand. They scared me. I could have had an accident. I got kids in the car. What I'd like to do is take my tire iron and go out there and whoa. Bump the brakes. That is not overcoming evil with good. It's not. Now, wait a minute. Are we just supposed to pacify evil? No. There's a way to stand against it. Because here's the thing, when that guy who almost sideswiped me is now in the snowdrift up here, and I pull up and I can help him get back out, perhaps the Lord will do something. And oh yeah, there's a Christian on scene to give them the gospel. Might not fix their driving, but it might be a different kind of a day for them. Maybe there was a reason God put them right there by that snowdrift, by the same reason why God put that woman by the well. Maybe there's a reason. See, we have opportunities, and not just an opportunity, but we have a commandment to behave in such a way and do a certain thing. To be out there looking for those that would be saved. That's our job. You can't do that if you're out there with your tire iron. You can't do that if you're out there with your baseball bat. You can't do that if you're out there cussing slurs and things outside out your window. It doesn't work. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. Is that not what the verse says? We must be spiritual in our response. Lord, how can I take this opportunity and honor you with it? And honor you with it. Because I'll tell you know what happens when you answer evil for evil? You both look like fools. You do. It might not be the Jerry Springer show, but it's just some Jerry Springer stuff. Two people sitting there arguing and bickering in the workplace. Two people screaming at each other. Neighbors tossing stuff over the fences. It becomes childish. It becomes silly and foolish. We're wiser than that. We're smarter than that. Let us use our hearts and our minds and our devotion to the Lord to dictate how we respond to the evil around us. And again, it's not pacificity, right? It's not being subject to evil. It's not letting evil have its way, because remember, here in verse 16, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome. Don't be overcome of evil, but you have to overcome. Now, what are you trying to say? Well, if we're angry at the way the world is working, we're supposed to be in this world working for the Lord. Am I right? I am. We're supposed to be doing something about it. So we sit there and we teach our kids. We teach our grandkids. We teach our great-grandkids, for some of you, the things of the Lord. We combat worldliness. We combat the devil's maneuvering on the minds through entertainment. We combat all of it. We fight it in a peaceful, loving, biblical way. We get up behind pulpits and we preach. We stand up in Sunday school lecterns and we teach. We sit around the table for food, and we sit around the table for devotions, and we bring the Lord into everything that we do. Verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Well, what do you think about this transgenderism? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. I'm going to provide something honest. I'm going to give you something honest. Well, what do you think about this brand new thing going on over here, what they're doing with the churches? Let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Let me give you something honest. Because I tell you what, some people, they're so sinner-friendly, they're dishonest. Right? Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to shake the boat. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Your sin ought to make you uncomfortable. You can't get saved unless you're first uncomfortable. Comfortable people don't get saved. I tell you what, if somebody found out they were a sinner and that sin made them deserving to go to hell, and they really believed it and they didn't show any sign, any concern, I would be concerned. Oh, what's that? I'm a sinner? Okay, yeah, I can kind of see that. Hell, yeah, I guess I would deserve that. Well, have a good day. That would bother me. Lead me to believe that you don't really understand or believe what we're talking about. You're just trying to get me off your front door. You're trying to get me off the phone. That's the conclusion I would come to. They're supposed to be bothered. We do not let heresy be unbothered. We do not let sinners go unbothered. We do not let lies and perversion go untouched. We trouble those things. But we don't do it violently. We don't do it in sin. We provide something honest. We provide something honest. Here's what the Word of God says. Well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It's there. Well, I think you're off base. I think you're old fashioned. You can think whatever you want. But here it is. Here it is. And one day, whether you think you will or not, you'll have to come to grips with the God that wrote this. You'll have to come to grips with the God that dictates what things are. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. We must provide that which is honest. We do not compromise with it. We do not compromise with evil. Well, don't you understand? There was a pastor one time. He made the statement that they've given up preaching on how people ought to dress because they were in a southern state and people weren't listening. So he stopped preaching on it. I go, that sounds like compromise. We don't understand. They won't come in if I tell people that they can't come in wearing tank tops and stringy this or that. Okay. But this is still the house of the Lord. Right? This isn't about what you think. This isn't about them dressing up for you. And I think through the years we've confused that. We think they're showing up to dress up to please the pastor or please the deacons or please whoever. No. This is God's house. We dress to please Him. We ought not look like we're going to the beach or we're going out to the park after this. Right, we don't compromise with it. Well, if I stop preaching, no, that's compromise. well, if I just cut up a little bit here and I allow a little bit there. No. Right? Well, it's not too bad if you drink a little bit, so I'll just tell people you can drink a little bit. No. We do not compromise. We don't have to be violent. We don't have to be mean, but we don't compromise. Let's go to verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals on of fire on his head. Listen, we don't let this sin be. We don't compromise with it. The light of the world has a responsibility to do that work, to be the light. I went out and I fixed the light bulb over here. Turns out that's what was wrong with it, Brother Mike. I just needed to put a new light bulb in it. That was it. Yeah. Brother Mike kept saying, we need to get some light over there. We need to get some light over there. And finally, I just kind of looked at the light bulb, took it out, put a new one back in there. Hey, we got some light back there now. Amen. Right? Very simple. If you're supposed to be the light of the world, how bright are you? Now, I don't mean intellectually. Look, that's not a joke. How bright are you? Are you really doing the job? God commands you to show people the way of God's love, to show people to Christ. How bright are you? How useful are you? You know, there's a little light in the baptistry up here. I believe there's a light down there. I think so, right? There's a light down there. If that was on right now, it would do none of us any good. No good whatsoever. Why? Because it's hid. A light that is burned out, like the one that I just replaced is for some reason. What good is it? Oh, the light bulb right there. What good is it doing? Not a thing. Oh, but it's not hurting anything because we still got plenty of light, right? Yeah, but you're a light bulb. That's your job. That's the one thing you're around for. When I'm done, when you're done, I'm done with you and you're gone. I'm glad God don't work that way. But you got a job. Right now, look again. What does being the light look like? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Now, that's not how enemies work. It is with the Lord. If he thirst, give him drink. Now, that's going too far. Not as far as the Lord says to go. Because he also says, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You ever fight with something that won't fight back? I'll teach you a lesson. I'll teach you a lesson. I've known people that came up to me and said, all right, I think it's time that we settle this thing. And I go, settle what thing? Now, come on, you and I have been going at this for a year now. Going at what? Remember back all that time ago when I said this and then you said that, and clearly we've just not been friends this whole last year because of that? And there's poor little me sitting there going, I thought we were really good friends. We were just at the store yesterday together with all the guys. Like, what happened? Fighting a war I didn't even know I was in. I thought everything was fine, but in their heart, there was all this contempt. He says, yeah, you've been acting real sweet and real nice this entire time, but I know you're not happy with me. But no, I'll be honest with you. I was acting real sweet and real nice to you because I had no idea we were fighting. You got to give a guy a warning. You got to tell me you're at battle with me. We sat down and we talked it over and we shared apologies, and all of a sudden this great conflict of whatever year it was over for him. And I just had one really weird afternoon. But hey, the Lord be praised. Things were worked out. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that want to fight against you. A lot of people that want to argue against you. If they find that they can't get your dander up, that's going to frustrate them. But that's not reason why you do it. The reason why you don't get your dander up, the reason why you don't go to war is because we're not commanded to war. We're commanded to feed our enemies. We're commanded to give them to drink. It just so happens that in doing so, you'll completely frustrate their purpose. Now, the goal isn't to frustrate people. The goal is peace. The goal is harmony. The goal is to lead them to Christ. The point is to take two people who are at war within the church closer to Christ. That's the point. It's never about the coals. It's just your assurance that it'll be fine. Why? Because we're worldly people who want vengeance still. Don't worry about it. They'll get it. When they're fighting you and there's no fight. When they're making war at you and there's no frustration. We don't fight that way. We don't. And they'll find that everything they do is cursed. They'll find that everything they do against you doesn't bring them joy. And eventually they'll either peter out or the Lord will deal with them. But I don't have to sit there and smack you across the face to score a point. I don't have to call you a name. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to let bitterness take root in my heart to win a battle. I'll win it by love. Win it by love. Now, wait a minute. So what are you saying? I've got this neighbor over here. They've done this and that to me, and they've done nothing but be ugly to me. So you're telling me what I need to do is bake them a pie and send it on over to them? Yep. I am. Next time you see them out there working in their back garden, offer to help them. Bring them some lemonade. That don't seem right. What if they won't eat it because they think I poisoned it? Well, waste a perfectly good pie that way, I guess. But it's just pie. It's just cake. It's just lemonade. Build a bridge. Build a bridge. Put out the fire. Put out the fire. But do the work. Do the work. You're still in the conflict no matter what, but you war differently. There was this guy who lived across the street from Flat Rock. He's passed on now. He hated our church. I think the only person who hated Flat Rock more than him is his wife. We would do things like we would go, and there was a chain that you put across at Flat Rock to stop people because they were putting the mire in. So we put the chain in so that people wouldn't, you know, come in, flip around, or do weird things. You just don't want to find a dead body in a church parking lot, okay? That's all I'm saying. You don't want to find a dead body shot up. You just don't. So we put the chain across, but you'd have to get out of your car at night to put the chain across in order to leave. So I'd often be the last one to leave. I'd put the chain up, but I'd have to park my car. And if I left my headlights on, buddy, I knew about it. She'd come out of that house just throwing curse words. And I grew up in a house with cussing, and I'd never heard some of those words. She had a creativity to it. So Now I had a choice. I could sit there, and the next time I could throw the brights on and get the chain. No, I shut the lights off when I got the chain. Well, you're letting her roll all over you. No. Because guaranteed she sat at the other side of that door waiting for something to bicker at me for. And I did the right thing and I pleased my Lord and I made peace. They would sit there, they would park right at the entrance of the church parking lot with their big vehicles. And they would put it so close, there's a ditch that comes into Flat Rock. And they would park so close up on there, just close enough to where they weren't breaking the law, but close enough to make it difficult to turn in or out of. Right, they were those kind of people. They had a perfectly unused driveway, but they would use that area there to irritate us. One time they got into the habit of parking in the church parking lot, this big old van that they had. It was a big old ugly thing. And the way he described it was, he goes, "We need that van, but it's ugly. I don't want people to see it in my yard, so we're parking it over here in a churchyard." We said, "Well, sir, we would really appreciate it if you didn't, because it's attracting bees. It's an abandoned vehicle. We need that because we'll have conferences and fellowships. We need to get in there." Well, one day, big storm hit Flat Rock. Would you believe that a branch fell down and landed smack dab on that van? Now, you think that would teach him a lesson, right? It did not. Guess who he blamed? Yeah, he blamed us. His opinion was that somebody went out there in the middle of a lightning storm and sawed that branch down so it would land on his van. And they hated us even more. That man went to his grave unhappy with us. But let me tell you about the time he got his van stuck in the snow out in front of the church. And everybody who was there at the church working went out and pulled him out. Let me tell you about the time when we found out that he was sick and we sent over letters of, you know, feel better, get well soon, sent over food. We had a church member who lived right next door to him. She was always bringing over supper and things. Can I tell you what? That was one of the most freeing experiences in my entire life. If you allow yourself to love the people that hate you, and you allow yourself to do good things for people that hate you, you can't beat that experience. I'm loving you. Not to win a point, not to score, no. Not to look like the good guy. No, I actually do get to walk away feeling pretty decent about this exchange. Now that man passed away, he never did quite come to like us. But I'll tell you what, I had a heart. I will make you love me back. And if not, I'll give that to the Lord. That belongs to him. You know, and he will. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll bring down the tree branch. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll have this happen. But in the end, that's not our business. My business is not for you to suffer until I'm satisfied. My business is not to hurl as much hurt at you as you hurl to me. My business is to show you love and demonstrate the forgiveness of Christ. So that way, when you come to me to figure out what's wrong with my brain, I can tell you why. Because there's a God in heaven that loved me the way I'm showing you. There's a God with all my faults and everything I did to him and every way I disappointed him. He loved me anyway. He gave me forgiveness, sent his son to die on the cross to achieve my forgiveness. So I tell you what, if he can do that for me, you can drive across my lawn whenever you want. You can do this, you can do that, don't bother me. The trick is to practice it so much and so often that it don't bother you. Right? So, be not overcome of evil, but overcome. Overcome how? Overcome evil with good. With good. Can you believe what so-and-so said to me? Or said, you believe what so-and-so said about you? Yeah, I can believe it. And it hurts, I'm not going to lie, that stings. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love them. I forgive them. I forgive them. Well, they didn't ask for it. Too bad. Too bad. I'll even go to them. Hey, I heard that you said this about me, and that really hurt my feelings, but I want to let you know I forgive you. And I love you the way that God wants me to love you. And I forgive you the way God forgives me. I want you to know that between you and me, we're okay. Well, I never said I was sorry. Yeah, that's okay. You can if you want, but I already forgive you. Well, all right. What are you going to say to that? What are you going to say to that? Now, if they come back and say that they did that because you did something, you better apologize for what you did. Again, because that's the difference between me just trying to look like the good guy and me actually obeying the Lord. Well, I said that because you did this. Oh, well, I can definitely understand where that was wrong. I'm sorry. That was wrong of me. Will you forgive me? Well, yeah. I'm going to be the one who doesn't forgive the other person now. Yep. Get into the conversation. Dive into it. Get in there. All right? Somebody wrongs you. Show up with forgiveness. That'll frustrate them. And not just word service, not just saying it. Really put in the work of forgiveness. It is freeing. It is wonderful to look somebody in the eye and say, I forgive you. And in your heart, you know it's true. Because you've gone to the Lord and you say, Lord, please help me to forgive them. Help me to no longer want my vain sense of justice, but Lord, I give it to your justice. And Lord, I'm going to let this go. That doesn't mean that don't hurt. It doesn't mean that you still don't think back at that going, man, I wish that never happened. It doesn't make all the bad that happened from it go away. But what it does do is this, is that there's no ledger between us. It's settled. I forgive you. We move on. We move on. Man, that'll do it. That is the weapons of our warfare. What else do we do? What else? The weapons of our warfare state that we should do. How do we overcome with good? By giving the gospel. By giving the gospel. We find a few more saved out there. We may not ever turn the tide. But if I sit there and I present the love of Christ to people as I go, and I tell you what, this is what this world needs. This is what the world needs. You know, you could sit there, you could drop a whole bomb on the government, and one equally or more corrupt would spring up around it. Man, yeah, you got these wackadoos out there. Well, if I go in there and I, oh man, that would really settle it. No, it won't. I've known a few people. Well, what we need is a civil war. Okay, let's say we win. Who takes over? Well, I don't know. We'd have elections and we do this. And who would we elect? Men. What's up with men? They're sinners. Okay. Same boss, different face. Don't matter. What do I need to do? I need to go out there and give the gospel. In my family, in my yard, in my neighborhood, out in public. If I'm on the internet, out on the internet. All right, we got that great ministry. We got the website out there. People find the website from time to time. Praise the Lord for that. A lot of preaching on that website. A lot of preaching on that website. Far better than what I could do. It's good stuff. We do. That's what we do. We get the word of God out there. That is our warfare. We preach and we pray that the Lord convicts hearts through the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. But I fear that too many churches have lost what that is. Too many churches out there, and I'm not throwing stones. It's something we need to be aware of ourselves, is why I say it. They use the gospel as a means of building the church, right? I've seen the mathematics in some of these preacher books. If I knock on 100 doors, I'll get one person. If I knock on 1,000 doors, I'll get what? 10 people, or whatever the math is. Not good with math. I'll get 10 people. Of those 10 people that I disciple, 4 of them will stay. Of the 4, and I'm loosely quoting, I'm making up these numbers, but I'll show you the math later if you want it. 4 will stay. And of those 4, maybe 1 or 2 will become long-term dedicated members, which means this summer we need to knock on this many thousands of doors to get this many into the discipleship program, to get this many to be long-term giving members of the church. And I want to vomit. Because nowhere in there does it discuss the change of the heart or the soul. I look at that and I see the same mathematics we use in sales. I need to make 100 phone calls to get 10 people, to get 1 or 2 to take the bite. Makes me sick. It's like a sales thing. Well, then what we can do is we can knock down our church and build a bigger one with all the fancy amenities that you would ever want. And then we can, once we're fancy inside, we can really... That's not the point. Because religious activity will not save this world. They've tried absent morality. You know what absent morality is, right? It's morality absent of the Lord. We don't want a theological-based morality. We want one based off of social agreement. Well, you're not going to find that. And that's going to be on a sliding scale. Sliding scale. That illustration I used of the little drag show that they put on for these elementary school kids, and they gave them the fake dollars. If I were to take somebody from 40, 50 years ago, if I were to go and grab some of you 40, 50 years ago, and I were to bring you up here, and I were to show you that news headline, you'd spit. You'd never believe it. You see, they say, well, how would that happen? That would never happen in America, brother. We would never do that. Well, 10 years ago, we also said we would never do that. 20 years ago, when we're legalizing stuff, and we're promised that if we legalize stuff, it would never come to this. And then prior to that, a decade earlier, when we were watching the stuff on the TV, and isn't that funny with the show and that? That gay guy is crazy in this movie. Look at that. But putting it on the TV will never lead to the legalization of the marriage. And that would never lead to the complete breakdown of what a male or a female is. And that would never lead to us... sexualizing children at all. That would never happen. Dallas, Texas, of all places, by the way, if you want to look the article up. Dallas, Texas. Texas is supposed to be its own little republic. Messing up. Why would they do that to kids? Oh, no, it teaches them inclusion. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. That's perverted and it's sick. What will change that is not forced religious activity. What will change that is the Holy Spirit. That's the only hope they have. That is the only hope they have, is the gospel. It is the only life preserver I can throw that would help them. And whether they take that or not is not up to me. Whether that's something the Lord works out in them is not up to me. But it is mine to throw it. It is mine to give it. And not just that, but I will show it with my actions. I'll show it with my actions. I will overcome evil with good with my actions. I'll be the one that bakes the pie for the neighbor that don't like me. My neighbors are okay with me, by the way. I'll be the one that does that. I'll be the one that goes over and, hey, let me help you with this, and hey, let me do you that. I'll be the one that sits there and shows forgiveness. I'll do that. Now, I say that. I pray the Lord gives me strength to do that. But that's that needs to be our heart. Lord, I'll go and I'll do that. Lord, I'll show the love. Lord, I'll be the one to sit there and smile at him and say, you know what? I forgive you. Well, I don't want you to forgive me. Nah, I didn't want you to make fun of me. I guess we're both stuck. I didn't want you to say that. I didn't want you to gossip. I didn't want you to do that. But here we are. It'll be the proportions of, it'll be in the, I'll purport it in my actions. The love and the goodness of God. I'll show that. Well, why is it that whenever we knock off and we go to the bar, you don't go? God says no, so I don't. All you square-minded, you can call me all you want. I'll forgive you, but I'm not doing it. Right? Oh, why is it that we're all sitting there and we're doing a little bit of, we're doing a little bending of the truth, and we're getting paid, and you won't do it, and you've got a family, and you're not getting paid? Lord will take care of it one way or the other. I'm not worried, but honesty is the best policy for me. Well, how is it that we can do this and you can do that? You never do this. Yeah, God will take care of it in the end. He'll take care of it in the end. I ain't worried about it. I ain't trying to get mine now. God will give it to me. Right? For every person that sits there and says, for your stance on this or that, or you're sitting there, you're saying this, I've had coworkers, I've even had bosses that did not like the fact that I was a Baptist preacher. Never interrupted the day. I never sat there with a Bible on my desk, preaching from my desk. I never did any of that. But it's who I was, and it's what I would talk about doing on the weekend. We're all sitting there talking about our weekends. I'd share. I didn't like it. You better believe that turned into problems from time to time. It did. Right? Well, you know, maybe if you weren't so this, we'd have a little bit more freedom to do that. Oh, okay. And guess what? I'd be invited to go to another place. I'd be invited for involve a promotion. I'd make more money. Every time somebody has tried to push against me and I showed forgiveness, it worked out great. But I'll tell you what, every time that I pushed back with evil, guess what happened? I looked like an idiot. And I blew it up. And I ended up being the one who needed to ask for forgiveness instead of showing forgiveness. I was the one who ended up needing to go to the Lord and repent of my sin instead of the one who should have done it alone. I don't need to participate that way. I don't need to throw gloves. What I need to do is what God has asked me to do. Show forgiveness. Stand on the truth. Act out the truth. Because you know what will nullify all of this? You know what will bring all of this to naught? A sinful life. A sinful life. You know, there was a lady, she was working at a restaurant that I was hired into down in Cincinnati. And she had, you know, she had issues with her bosses, so she'd get into verbal confrontations with them. She had issues with drugs and alcohol. She was very sloppy, always late to the job, never quite did it right because she was, you know, really kind of distracted by some of her addictions. There was just a lot of issues there. So they brought me in to learn, and then eventually I was there to replace her. I didn't know this when they brought me in. They never tell the guy, oh yeah, there's somebody we're trying to force out, so please, we'll hire you. Because I'll walk out. I won't, you know, handle your business like men. Don't bring me into your fights. But that was the point. You know, she knew nothing about me, but on my first day there, she came up, she put her finger in my face. She goes, I know what you're here, and God's going to deal with you for the wicked way that you're treating me and the wicked thing that you're about to do. I was stunned. I'm like, wow. I'm like, I waited for 20 minutes for you to show up because you're supposed to train me today. I had no idea, so I went to the boss. I said, hey, boss, this is what happened. And he explained to me in detail, oh, yeah, we're looking to get rid of her, and it's kind of unfortunate, but she's not here. She fights with everybody, so we're just letting her go. She put her finger right in my face as though God was going to fight for her. God is not a dog we keep on a chain. And we can live in sin and let him loose when we want him to fight our battles. So I went to go talk to her, and I said, all right, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a 10-minute conversation with her, clear the air, and we'll be able to get on through the work. I mean, we're just working at a salad bar. I'm 18 years old, working at a salad bar at a restaurant, right? That's my job, prepping a salad bar. This is not an act of Congress here, right? We can talk this through. She walked away. She quit. Never got a chance to talk to her, never got a chance to clear the air, never got a chance to let her know that I had no idea what was going on. She just walked away. What a bummer. What a bummer. But you know what left me very nonplussed? If you've got all these issues, if it was true, if the manager's story was true, you've got all those issues, you're not in the right spot to claim that God will fight for you. If I've got a sin-filled life, a sin-sick life, and I've devoted every inch of it to sin, and I'm combative and I'm ugly and I'm arguing about things and I'm nasty towards people, I don't have a right to believe that God is going to justify my actions or reward my sin. What I must do is abide in him, do the things. Go through this list here of things that we are supposed to do, right? Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Right? We've got to put in that effort. We've got to show these things. We've got to give our hearts to the Lord and true forgiveness to those that require it. And not just forgiveness, but take care of, feed and give them drink and take care of their needs. Well, they got a flat tire. Well, they cut me off. It doesn't matter. Let's go over and let's help them. How many times have we sat there and saw somebody reaping the rewards of their sin and we said this phrase, serves them right. It does. It does. Right, someone goes to cut you off, right? They swerve in, roar! And then you find them up the road with a dead tire. You bought that. Your actions bought that. But it's a good thing I was here because I can help. Right? Your sin caused you to do this against me, but it's a good thing it's me and the Lord showed me tons of mercy because here I am to show you mercy. You know, you don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. And I'm so glad there was a time in my life where God showed his grace to me when I didn't deserve it. So here you go. Right? There is an essence where the sin of this world will hang the sinner. It will. But we cannot get confused in thinking that we can prolong their suffering and be okay with God. Where we can sit there and extol pain from them and pray that they suffer just enough to learn their lesson and you'll feel good. Because what you're doing is you're telling the Lord that that's how the business should be done. And that means an eternity in hell for you. As if that's what he did for you. But he didn't do that for you, did he? He sent a son down to pay your penalty. You would not dare point your finger at God and say, well, you're letting the sinners roll all over you. You know what would happen? If we died, if all of creation died and went to hell, it would serve God just fine to look at us and go, serves you right. Serves you right. I gave you guys one rule. And because you thought that breaking that one rule would make you better than me, who loves you, who created you, who gave you this whole world to live on, you broke that rule. Sin entered into the world. Now there's this gulf in the relationship between us, not because of my bitterness, but because what you partake in is so disdainful to me, I can't be around it. And it can't be around me. And you gave yourselves to that. And you forfeited your future with me to that. And not just that, but you continue on in your sin, even though I have intervened time and time again to tell you not to do it. And I have sent you the word. I have sent you preachers. I have sent you people in your lives to tell you that ain't right. And to tell you that that separates you from me. And you kept doing it. And I sent my son to die on the cross for your forgiveness. And you shunned it. When they showed up at your door to give you the gospel, you slammed it. When I sat there, I sent down the preachers and they preached in the churches. You stayed away from it. God could very easily sit there over the people in hell and say, serves you right. But that's not what he did for you, is it? That's not what he does to us. That's why the weapons of our warfare needs to change. Not insults, not mean names, not violence with our hands, but patience and love and mercy, long-suffering, meekness. We go to war with different things. We go to war with different things. Therefore, we should each and every last one of us take a look at how it is I'm combating this world. You've got to combat it somehow. It's what you're here for. You've got to combat it somehow. But not like that. Not evil for evil. But I will respond to evil with good. Good preaching, good teaching, good verbal explanation of the Bible, right? However you want to put it. I will show it with obedience to that scripture in my life. And I will show it with buckets of forgiveness and mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this in a world that, as Brother Gordon put it, in a world gone wrong, Lord, we would be the salt. The Lord, we would be the light. That, Father, we would take all that you gave to us and we would put it on display every day of our lives. That, Lord, we would continuously and constantly point people towards you and the sacrifice your Son made that day. Lord, it is easy for us to be worldly. It's easy for us to be carnal. But you've called us to be higher and better than that. And Father, I repent of that. Father, I apologize for those moments in my life where I've let my sinfulness, my carnality, take over a situation that didn't deserve it. Lord, help me to give my responses to you. Grant me the ability, grant us the ability to show forgiveness and love and mercy the way you do. Lord, your love is perfect. You give a perfect love. Help us, Lord, to emulate it as much as we can, as much as our sinful form can. And Lord, again, we're thankful for all that love you give to us, all that mercy. Lord, let it be a guidance day for us. Lord, let it be instruction for us in how to live. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.